Good morning. Thank you for your patience. Today is May 17, 2022. We'll call to order the meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors. Please stand with me if you are able and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And again, sorry for the technical difficulties this morning. We would like to take just a moment. Did you want to say something? Or to, if you would, with us, please just recognize a moment of silence for those who have lost their lives in Boulder and in other gun violence, but specifically in Boulder, those who lost their lives. I'm sorry, Buffalo. Those who lost their lives and those who are injured. Thank you. Thank you. I will entertain a motion to accept today's agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Merkin?
Aye.
Heddens?
Aye.
Basil?
Aye.
Now is time for public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. If you would like to make public comment, feel free to come forward to the table. If you are on, would we be able to hear them on Zoom? Okay, if you're on Zoom, please raise your hand. We are having technical difficulties, but should be able to provide you an opportunity. Anyone, Leanne? Okay. Seeing no one, we'll close public comment number one, and nothing for agency reports this morning. We do have a presentation by Snyder Engineering regarding county inspection services. We have Christina Paradise, construction technician, and Wade Greiman.
Yep.
Is that right? And well, Andrew Derrick. That would be great, yeah. Yeah, I'll have to pull up another chair.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can we get another presentation up to you?
Sure.
Certainly.
While she's doing that, first off, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. My name is Wade Greiman. I've been with Snyder Associates since 1995. 94 graduate from Iowa State University with a civil engineering degree. Happened to have classes with Mr. Moon back there. But we greatly appreciate the opportunity to present to you today. Our call for questions and address any comments or questions that you may have. A little bit about myself. Like I mentioned, I've been with the firm for my entire career. My focus has been on public infrastructure, transportation, utilities. I get to co-manage a group of 70 engineers and technicians across the state of Iowa, most of them in Aiken. But Christina actually works in our Fort Dodge office, which I'm blessed to work with her every day. So as it relates to what our firm does, we've been solicited by a number of different counties to present to the supervisors related to this type of service for both pipelines, the Navigator and the Summit. Some counties only have one pipeline, but we have both. Planned at this point. But our first and foremost obligation is to the county and to the citizens to represent you all to the best of our ability. Not to represent the pipelines. We are here to make sure that your interests are defended and taken care of, as well as the property. So wanted to get that out in front of you first, because that is probably the most important thing. I'll turn it over to Christina to introduce herself and kind of walk through the presentation.
Well, my name is Christina Paradise, and I've been with Snyder for almost 6 years now. I left for a little bit, and we did a little small pipeline project, and then came back. I have worked for the pipelines in the past. I've got 25 years experience in heavy civil and industrial construction. I've worked in ethanol plants and power plants and refineries and pipelines, you name it. tonight. So I've got like 5 to almost 6 years experience with Snyder doing the civil work. So they're familiar with soils, paving, restoration, seeding, all those activities, backfilling, very familiar with that. And I'm just going to run through the presentation now. So these slides kind of were made as a to-do list. So if you will, that's what this is. It's basically a to-do list. We have a number of administrative tasks to take care of. And the first one is to obtain the required documents from the pipeline company. So we need to get a copy of their land restoration plan if they get a permit. If they get a permit, you know, I mean, that's the first big if. But then we would get a copy of their specs and procedures, alignment sheets, track information, landowner agreements, that sort of thing, to understand exactly. And then we build a file for each land number, for each parcel that the pipeline would cross. From there, we would participate in topsoil survey depths to determine the depth of that topsoil, so we know when we restore how deep we would go with it. So we want to restore it, and we want to ensure that it's restored exactly like it was. That's our goal. Tile maps, tiling is going to be very important with your drainage district, and then with the landowners as well. So we're looking at tile maps, and then tiles were struck by the pipeline, which I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. It depends on what your drainage district agreement is with your engineer there, but we can assist with marking the locations of the breaks and screening, and then documenting the temporary and the permanent tile repairs if necessary. Administrative tasks continued. We would exchange contact information with the pipeline company and the contractor. We want to meet with your landowners and exchange contact information so each one of them has a way to get in touch with us at all times. And develop reporting templates in accordance with IUB procedures. So they're pretty specific.
Could I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I'm remembering it.
Okay.
You say you're going to meet with the landowners. Are you going to meet with every single landowner?
We would like to have a group meeting, a group sit there.
In each county that you're working
in?
Each
county, yes,
ma'am. Okay.
We would request to do that so that we can introduce ourselves to them, and they, so that they are familiar with who we are.
How are you going to contact them?
Pardon?
How are you going to contact them?
We have a listing. Go ahead.
Through our survey department. That's part of their job, is since they look at parcels. So they're looking at the parcel numbers as the map crosses the state. And if you look at the back, 4 pages of the presentation, that's your maps. That's the Summit Pipeline,
sure.
And then Navigator. So we're just taking those and going through each parcel and looking up the landowner information, the track number and all that.
So you'll have to change that when the final routes are established,
absolutely,
though.
Absolutely. It'll be revised.
You know that, because these are just preliminary routes, and I've already know there's some changes,
yes,
going on.
Of course. Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
But you're already working on that, and have you worked Story County or just the counties that you've already contracted with?
The counties that we've already got.
How long would it take you to do that for Story County?
It's a 3 days for Hancock County.
And they have one pipeline, right?
Now, Story County, the Summit Pipeline is going to be first. I think they say that they're going to construct in 2023.
Yep.
They're going to go for the permit in the fall.
Navigator's about 6 months behind is what I was told.
More. We haven't seen an application for a permit yet.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, they've got a lot of filings, and they filed an intent to file for a permit, but there's no application.
Okay. So you'd work on Summit first, obviously. Okay.
So then, since they're preliminary maps, are you like taking a wide swath of landowners and contacting all of them?
What we're trying to do is look at if it just, you know, crosses clips a corner of a property, we're going to go ahead and capture the properties on the other side.
Gotcha.
Just to make sure.
And we would obviously want to do that in concert with your staff, too, and possibly yourselves as well, if you wish. But we want it to be very clear who we represent. It might say Snyder Associates on our shirts or on our hard hats, but it will be Story County in this regard and the property owners.
in concert is good, but you wouldn't rely on Story County staff to do any of the work.
We can do all of that in unison.
That's exactly what I'm saying, is we don't have, you know, surplus folks to be doing it. That's what I would see your firm being responsible for. Okay. We would want to be involved, though. I think I'm talking for everybody on the one. Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. No worries. Interrupt anytime. I mean, if you have a question, just jump in. So the next page, slide number 4, is more of, so I've got to conduct an intensive inspection team training with the crew, to get them all on board with IUD requirements and landowner agreements and how to look things up, and, you know, just I want everybody to be on the same page, and that's how we work.
How many people in your inspection team?
Currently, we have...
For both offices, we probably have 15. Some of those staff members are interns and co-ops that are in the engineering field at Iowa State, Iowa, Wisconsin, Platteville, Missouri, Valla. We've been recruiting quite a bit for inspection every year. So this is a standard thing that we do, but the leadership and the on-site leadership will be a full-time experienced person with a decade or more experience in construction. Christina would manage everybody with point source for all counties and make sure that everybody's been communicating consistently and appropriate signs to be safe.
And just another word to that, I managed inspection crews at 2 fabrication facilities in 2 different states, in Arkansas and in Salt Lake City, when I was working on the Keystone project. So I do know how to manage and delegate and people that are spread out.
So you're working for inspectors then, or for the pipeline?
I was working for the company, for TransCanada. I was their inspector.
Okay.
I managed a third-party inspection team.
Okay.
We did surveillance over the QC, just to make sure they were doing things properly.
Okay.
So, and there was 12 in that team, in 2 different states. So slide number 5, the single point of contact for scheduling, according to the IDB, and I'm not even going to read the code numbers, but the pipeline company shall keep the county inspector continuously aware of this construction schedule, and 24 hours advance notice shall be provided for construction activity that the county inspector was responsible for inspecting. I would be that person. I would be that point of contact, and everything would come through me, and I would dispatch personnel as required. So I would be the switchboard operator and the part shuffler. County inspector shall designate a lead inspector. Again, that would be me. The next one is responsibilities of the county inspector. So we will have to maintain copies of all the separate agreements between the landowners and the pipeline company. Do you all have an ordinance or a resolution for certain requirements from the pipeline company, or are you just going to go with what the IUB has, or have you talked about that?
We have discussed some things. We don't have a formal agreement yet, do we, Darren? No, we need to get back to that. But we have discussed some things about boring, for example, boring under drainage tiles, boring under creeks, on streams, those kind of things. Yes, they have to be the 90 degree.
So the landowner or the separate agreements that are discussed in here that's the easements. So each landowner can negotiate whatever they want into their easement. They might want the pipeline company to dive down 12 foot, you know, and that's their prerogative. And if the pipeline agrees to that, then we hold them to that. So that's why it's so important for us to have all those agreements. We would want a copy of any resolution you guys had, and any agreements that you made as well. Mm-hmm. We would observe and document construction activities performed by the pipeline company and its contractors, and document compliance and or non-compliance with all requirements and the approved restoration plan and independent agreements. We will issue stop work orders when violations are identified, and we will issue a notice of violation as required, and that goes through the chain all the way up to your desk if things are not resolved on the spot. I find that typically, maybe the first time, it can go up the ladder a little far, but after the first time you make believers out of them, usually that's all it takes. The responsibilities of the county inspector continued, so this is a list of what our scope is, basically. So we would cover construction in wet conditions. Again, we would have the stop authority if conditions are too wet or saturated for work to continue. Dewatering activities, it's very important that when they dewater, they'll have to probably pump water out of the ditch. We want it to be filtered. We don't want it all to just pour out onto the land and silt out and all that. So we would take care of that. Right-of-way staking, the right-of-way staking is the responsibility of the pipeline. We would monitor that activity. And we would also potentially get some Grover shots, some GPS shots, to confirm where they are so that when we can come back for construction, we know where that line is and we can watch them and make sure they're open. And then all activities related to clearing, boring activities, topsoil removal and stockpiling, trenching, tile marking, screening, temporary repair, and then permanent tile repair. So, continue. Backfilling, decompaction, cleanup, restoration and revegetation, pipeline testing, project completion, and document submittals. So the document submittals is the final turnover package that we go to back. So that's our responsibilities and that's according to the IUB, that's our role. That's what we're supposed to do. The other part of the inspection process would be handled by another regulatory agency that's not the IUB.
Would be what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Federal.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, I just didn't hear you.
The maps, they're just general, you know, they're the estimated or the anticipated route. So it's 16-inch pipeline that Summit has coming through Story County. 16-inch diameter pipe. That's what I read yesterday. And then Navigator, I am not sure. I didn't see anything that actually showed me what the diameter was, but you guys are, the trunk line goes right through here, so I would imagine it to be 16 inch or potentially even 20 for Navigator.
This, the map says 6 inch.
That's not correct.
Mm-hmm.
It says 6 inch. It says it there, but there's another document on the IUB website that said 16.
Okay, and this is theirs. Those are their notes, not your notes on here.
No, this is mine.
Okay.
But if you look at Navigator, see, it doesn't show anything in either spot.
We'll want to confirm that.
All of it has to be confirmed. Yeah. They're still in the planning stages. They don't have alignment sheets yet. I went to a landowner meeting with Summit Carbon 6 weeks ago, and they said, we don't have alignment sheets yet. We don't know where our final location is going to be. We're just kind of throwing darts at it. Yeah, throwing darts at it right now.
So are they planning to work in more than one place at one time?
Yes, ma'am. From what I learned, I think they will run two or four crews.
Four crews,
and they said that on the best day, in the very best conditions, one crew could cover 3 miles in one day.
And so do you anticipate having enough staff then to oversee all of those different moving
Absolutely.
Parts?
So four crews would be two staff members per crew.
Statewide.
That's right.
So some counties were not represented.
Right.
I'm glad you asked.
Oh, four crews through, okay, not in Story County or?
No, four crews period, so.
That may change, depending upon the production rate, weather. But we have made a conscious decision to make sure that we're right-sized with our representation for all of the counties that we represent. Right now, you are the seventh county to reach out to us. And we're about there with capacity, so we're not anticipating taking on more work. We are still waiting to hear back from Palo Alto County. They have not made a decision to move forward yet, but they're waiting for some additional developments by UB staff and pipeline. So, but right now, we're very conscientious on our right side of our staff capacity in the main. With each crew that's going with the pipeline, we're anticipating more than one inspector on site. We're anticipating someone to make sure that the drainage is taken care of and documented, someone that's managing the trench and making sure that that's safe conditions and the topsoil is restored as close to the original as it can be. And then restoration, so at least two and possibly three people per site, depending upon their production rate and how they talk together. So with that, I mentioned that coverage is important to make sure that we have enough people on grade. And sometimes that does require us to bring in engineers from the office to help assist us with that, just the coverage. But everything that we do will go through her. We want her to be, she's the boss for us in terms of, so it's, she has the most experience with pipelines on both sides of the aisle, both sides.
Which is nice.
Did you, Christine, did you tell me that you're going to be working with Polk County on Navigator?
We are.
They have, they have.
They've asked us for a contract and we're
wrapping. Okay, so here's what I've learned from our discussion, from what I've been looking at IUB. You're doing Webster, because both Summit Navigator.
Correct.
Kossuth, both Summit Navigator. Green, which would just be Summit, because Navigator doesn't go there. Hancock is just Summit. And Polk is just Navigator then. So that's one, two, three, four. That's five.
Yeah.
So I missed one.
Sixth and Palo Alto, potentially seven.
What was sixth?
Palo Alto.
Good.
Just west of Kossuth.
No, but I've got Webster, Kossuth, Green, Hancock, and Polk.
Plus.
So you got five for sure.
Yes.
Okay, then possibly Palo Alto. Okay. So I'm a little unclear, and probably you now would have the authority to stop construction. That's a change in the administrative rules that allows that, correct? Because did the inspectors, when Dakota Access came through, did they have the authority to stop construction then?
I would not know. I was not participating in that project.
Okay.
But tell you that it does state very clearly in rules that we have to stop work order.
How does work get started again after that happens?
We give them an all clear.
So it would rest with you. It doesn't go anyplace else, IUB or anything like that.
There are tiers. There are levels of. So the first action would be, I notice non-performance. I stop work in the field. Mm-hmm. Talk to the foreman. We discuss a corrective action and agree on it, and then mm-hmm. correct it, and then work goes back. That's the ideal situation. If mm-hmm. if it goes above that, the next level, if you will, would be to call in the pipeline group, and deal with them. And if they still won't stop, it comes to you. have to prepare a written report that I would bring to your desk. And they're still supposedly shut down. Now, if they don't stop and they keep working, you know, I mean, it's one of those things. They're supposed to stop work. We just keep escalating it up the ladder to the IEDs if things don't get resolved. And they said that can prevent, the IEB rules say it can prevent the pipeline from going into operation if there are non-conforming items that are unresolved.
So could you potentially end up needing to call in law enforcement if they are not conforming and continuing to work when you've done a stop order on them?
I think they'll stop. I think, you know, I think that maybe the first time they'll get, you know, might have to go up a little ways, but I think after the first time, like I said, after we make a believer out of them and they know, you know, we do know what we're talking about and we will enforce this, that they'll stop, they'll correct it, they'll be eager to do so, then they're going to be happy to continue.
Can the IUB revoke the permit?
We cannot revoke.
IUB cannot?
IUB cannot revoke the permit. They can prevent them from going into operation.
But by that time, the damage is done to the ag land.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And when you say it escalates and then you would write a report and it would come to us.
Right.
What authority would we be able to do then?
Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha. That's just the way the rules are written. Mm-hmm. That's what it says. So mm-hmm. Stop and write a report, then come to you guys.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gotcha.
What else? Any other questions?
What pipeline companies have you worked for?
I worked for TransCanada on the Keystone Pipeline project. Mm-hmm. That was a small project. I was actually employed by Bechtel Construction, and I was the fab shop coordinator for two fab shops in Utah and then Arkansas. Then I went to Cushing, Oklahoma for Bechtel, working as a representative of TransCanada, and I did the turnover. Mm-hmm. I was a turnover coordinator there. That's from construction to commissioning. Mm-hmm. So I did punch lists, walk down of all the systems, verify completions. Then I worked for Columbia Pipeline over on the East Coast and did a gas pipeline with them.
So were you ever in a situation where you needed to stop construction, where there was a problem?
I have shut down work before. I shut down work at ISU when I worked for Schneider. Mm-hmm. We had an issue that was not safe and it was not going well. Threw the flag and said stop, and they did stop. Yeah, I mean, I did that. They corrected. We talked about it. We talked about alternate means of doing what they were trying to accomplish. They agreed that what they were doing was not the safest, not the best practice, and they changed what they were.
And I assume you share the same obligation that Mr. Schneider said that you would be working for the county and the property owners.
Absolutely.
Not the pipeline in this case.
If my grandparents' farm were in Iowa and this pipeline was going through their farm, that's how I'm going to treat this. Because I feel like we owe it to them.
What's the most important thing about the ag impact mitigation plan?
It's the topsoil. I mean, it's the topsoil. Mm-hmm. That's the most important aspect of the farm plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, tiling, we're going to keep the water off of the top, but the topsoil. Protecting the stockpiling, stripping and stockpiling the topsoil, and mm-hmm. protecting the tiles.
And Bolton and Mank is our drainage engineer, and they said they would be willing to do the drainage tile work. Are you willing to work with them?
Absolutely. We're working with them in Green County.
Okay.
Same region.
Okay.
I'm glad you asked that. I was going to mention that if you have a drainage engineer on board that you're comfortable with, we're more than happy to team with them.
Just one thing to look at is they've done a lot of engineering reports in Story County on drainage facilities, and they have a lot of information already on hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would actually enjoy that.
And we were looking at the proposed route for Summit, and I think we saw something like 22 possible crossings, and that was before we even saw the Navigator, and we haven't even counted them up on Navigator, but there's a lot of drainage tile crossings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, some of them were close, you know, but we counted all of them that looked like they were close.
Right.
Summit said they would encourage you guys, all the drainage districts, to, in advance of the pipeline, construct headers on your tiles so that they wouldn't go through there. So that you would construct a header and just drain in the other direction. They would be happy to pay for that, and that you could use any contractor. Your preferred contractor is what they said. So, and they will put the bill for that.
What do you mean by a header?
A header is, so let's say you've got three tiles running parallel to one another, and the pipeline's going to cross those, right? They would want you to build a header on either side to clear the way for the pipeline, and you would just construct one going perpendicular to catch the water from those and drain out.
It'd be a parallel tile,
yes,
on either side of the pipeline to collect the subsurface range from the tile.
Thank you.
So that would require digging up all the ground around there in addition to what the pipeline is going to already do.
That is your project. Green County actually wanted to do that because they're doing some improvements, and they see this as an opportunity to perhaps get part of their improvements, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the cost would be and how that would fit with drainage law, but that would require engineering reports, which the landowners should not pay for, and then as well as the construction. It seems to me that it seems like a very large project to add in addition.
So Green County is, the pipeline is covering all of those costs. It's not falling back on the landowners, the engineering report or anything?
The pipeline will foot the bill.
Even the engineering report from what?
They said they would pay for it. Mm-hmm. So. That's what they said.
Yeah.
So some
just want to make sure it's in writing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I
did. Did you check
that?
I'm
thinking.
Yeah, a commitment. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I could do that. I could write an email and just get something in writing from Kelsey and see what she says.
Greens got maybe. Well, I don't know what their drainage facilities look like. Maybe it doesn't come as far into Greene County. It's similar, but it's about half the length of what comes into Story.
Yeah, it's not very
Yeah, we're coming right to the middle of the county. Probably
mm-hmm.
8 miles in Greene, 17.7 in Story, so double. That's pretty good. That's about double. One.
A lot of studying spent.
Huh. So yeah, that would.
The contract mechanism, the way we set it up with other counties is that our contract would lie with you county, and we would not get paid until you get paid for by the pipeline itself. So.
Do you have a sample contract you could send us to look at? Oh, okay. Why don't you give one to, how many you got? One to Darren and one to me, and I'll make copies for the other supervisors.
We'd probably want an electronic.
An electronic copy would be great if you're willing to send it, because then we could also get it brought it to our county attorney's office. Okay.
And the designations that you've seen filed on the IUB with the other counties, we have those as well. Those will need to come to you electronically so that you can put them on your letterhead if you make
Yeah, I assume that you had written those.
Yeah.
I didn't keep one, because I...
Anyone else? That's it. The designations, yeah.
Any further questions?
Do you have any idea why the counties that went with you as opposed, as instead of with ISG, did they say why? Okay. Fair enough.
We tend not to try to ask either.
Okay.
I mean, there's stuff here, but I discount all the stuff and tell
okay.
Them. So I don't know.
Okay.
Christina's got the experience in working with us before. Have you had any experience before? Your company had experience with being county inspector on a pipeline project?
No.
Okay.
Not on a pipeline like this. We work with, we do quite a bit of work for other counties on other infrastructure projects.
Mm-hmm.
Some in the rural areas, some in the urban areas. All counties are, we work with their whole county for anything office, we have a pretty relationship with them. Mm-hmm. If you want a reference, feel free to contact Greene County, Western County, Polk County, Hancock County. Most of the counties that have reached out to us because of our patchworking relationship with them. And ask them about our service, mm-hmm. who we are. That's the most important thing to have is our service.
And we do underground utilities all the time. I mean,
yeah.
Underground utilities is our
okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, then it's the restoration
and
piping and the sidewalks
and so on.
We do.
Mm-hmm. So then this project would not include us inspecting any of the piping or the welding or anything like that. This is just about the trench, tiles, and compaction slash decompaction, essentially, and restoration.
So who then does the inspection of the welding and the pipelines will inspect themselves?
For FINSA, for the federal agency. So we would not participate in any of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I understand McClure Engineering is doing the drainage tile work in Kossuth.
Correct.
Are they Kossuth's drainage engineer?
I think they are. And they're also doing it in Webster with us.
Oh, okay.
And we presented them in Palo Alto.
Okay. But you don't have an agreement with them?
Not yet, not Palo Alto.
Okay.
Hancock has not come back to us. I think Holden Lake represents them on their machine.
Mm-hmm.
To us with their
preference. Okay, I didn't realize McClure was doing drainage work.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Palo Alto is Summit or Navigator or both?
That is Summit. The Navigator kind of switched from this.
Yeah.
Palo Alto. Mm-hmm. Palo Alto has 600 million switchers, so that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Okay.
That resolution, I would really strongly encourage you guys to just sit down and get one of the last. I think that's a good way to take conclusion.
Do you have one you could send us? Do you see an accounting?
That'd be great.
If you prefer, we could send that along with
why don't you do that and then I'll just distribute it.
Okay.
Just send it to me. I can distribute it to everybody who needs it.
And then there's one other thing, the easement negotiations with the landowners. That's, you guys encourage your landowners to get good with the easement.
Yeah, we're still working on the list of landowners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We did a tentative list, I think, when we started with Summit, but it's not an official list, and I've been asking for that, and Summit is still resisting.
Yeah, they're not going to
until
they have the agreement. So.
Well, it's really up to IUB, not Summit.
Yes, it is. I agree. And I think
which is
one is not in the
Sierra.
The Sierra has requested that as well. There's a lot of litigation going on.
And I think the OCA is in favor of it being given out, too.
It's public information. If you look at this map and you take the time, you can make your own list. So I don't know why they're holding it secret.
Because it's more difficult to do that.
Exactly. It costs more money and time.
Certainly. Mm-hmm. Certainly. And that's why I asked how you were planning on contacting the landowners. So how do you get that? You just ask each landowner, can we have a copy of it? Because it's not, that's not necessarily public, is it?
It's the pipeline's responsibility to provide us with those, but in case they forget or, you know, something happens, we would like to have them.
Mm-hmm. Do you help with any of the negotiations with the landowners?
We do have a document that we can just kind of help. Yeah, just something to give them some food for thought, some things to consider, because there's a lot to it.
Mm-hmm.
This document contains some things I had never even thought of, so it's pretty thorough. Yes. I'd be happy to share that.
That would be great.
Why don't you send that to?
Yeah.
So the contract, resolution, and document for landowners. Excellent. Anything else you think we should do? Well, let me ask our engineer. Darren, do you have any questions?
I think you got all the questions answered that I had.
Okay.
All the questions answered.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thanks very much for making the trip down here, and we'll be in touch.
Okay. Absolutely. You too.
Thank you. You too.
Moving on to item number 8, consideration of minutes. There are no minutes today. Consideration of personnel actions.
I move personnel actions as presented.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Heddens.
Aye.
Merkin.
Aye.
Faisal. Aye. Consent agenda.
I move approval of the items on the consent agenda. Is this? Do you want to pull something?
Yeah, sorry. I think I probably need to pull the MICA one, if we could do that one separate, because I serve on the board of directors.
Okay, sure.
So MICA, which would be number 4. Because I serve on their board of directors.
Let me withdraw my motion, then.
Okay.
You're pulling that for discussion, you said, I'm sorry.
No, I serve on the board of directors for that one. So I'm just wondering if I should abstain from that one.
I would move. Are you ready for a new motion? Which
it's number 4 is MICA.
Okay,
so if you want to do that one first, and then we can do all the rest together.
Okay.
I would move approval of item 4 on the consent agenda, the contract for the agreement with Mid-Iowa Community Action.
I would second. Merkin.
Aye.
Faisal. Aye.
I'll abstain.
Abstained. Moving on to consent agenda minus item number 4.
I move approval of the other consent agenda items minus number 4 as presented.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Heddens.
Aye.
Merkin.
Aye.
Faisal. Aye.
Thank you. Sorry, I meant to mention that prior.
Nope. I should have asked. Okay, moving on to public hearing items. We have first consideration of ordinance number 304, amending chapter 85.8, chapter 92, and chapter 93. Hi, Marcus.
So, as far as this ordinance today, staff is requesting that the board remand ordinance back to staff to work through special exception section further for the county attorney's office and set the first consideration for May 31st. So I understand that you guys have all seen the memo about that. So I know there was a couple of things put forward throughout all of this, but just the main focus is that the special exceptions section needs to be tweaked a little bit just based on some recent rulings. Also at Planning and Zoning Commission, there's some questions about a couple of the provisions that ultimately 92.11717A and 9209, those requirements for the CGC plan, those two ones there, that those would be stricken going forward. So, you know, just wanted to put down that those things would be removed based on that memo, as you guys have seen.
But you don't want us to approve part of it today. You just want us to remand it back to staff.
Just want to remand it back so we can finish up with the county attorney's office, what happened with recent ruling. So, but then the other stuff as in the memo.
But there was some disagreement about whether part of those would be struck or not, correct?
To my understanding, these, what's written in this memo, these would be this part, the 9209, the requirement that the CGC plan be amended prior to the rezoning, and the 92 point, that all permits conform to the CGC. It sounds like those two. And we'll bring it back to you.
Okay. Okay.
But the main thing is that the special exceptions, that's why it's going to be weird than that. So it took just a little bit longer. So.
Okay.
Public hearing.
Mm-hmm. You have questions? Just making sure you don't have any questions before I open the public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No. So we'll go ahead and open public hearing. I believe we have someone who would like to make a comment. Brad Perkins. And if you don't mind, yeah, just getting close to the microphone, that would be great. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, is that coming through okay?
Sounds All like right. it.
Thank you very much for taking a few minutes to listen to my concerns this morning. My name is Brad Perkins. My wife and I operate Raspberry Hill Bed and Breakfast on 240th Street in Ames, Iowa. And I'd like to take a few seconds to address the Chapter 92, Section 11-1A. It was our concerns that kind of led to that being struck at the Planning and Zoning Commission. excuse me, allergies seem to be acting up this year. And I just wanted to address it and kind of follow up through with this board here. Our concerns resulted from not necessarily what the county might do with the ordinance as written, but I think everyone here, if you don't know the history of our business, 4 years ago, we received permits for a bed and breakfast, a conditional use permit on the land at 240th Street. Since that time, we are still in litigation with the neighbor that is suing the county over those permits, to the extent of maybe six different lawsuits that the county has been engaged in and continues to be engaged in. Among the many frivolous complaints that they have, one of them in challenging our permits is that the county erred when they awarded our permits by not conforming to the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. Now, what I would like to do, and Amelia has a copy of our of the judgment, one of many judgments in our hearings, but I would encourage you to read that, what the judge said about the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. I'm going to summarize. You can read the whole thing. It's very lengthy, you know, at your leisure at another time. But in essence, what the judge said is that the Ames Urban Fringe Plan is a framework for an agreement between the city and the county that kicks in when we subdivide land or we change zoning. Our concern with this ordinance and the upcoming revisions to the Ames Urban Fringe Plan results from, if you look at 9211-1A, it says applicable permits, and this would be among many permits, one of them would be conditional use permits. Applicable permits shall certify the use and or structure conforms to all the minimum requirements of the ordinance, and here's the addition that concerned us, and the cornerstone to capstone C2C comprehensive plan. Our concern would be if you look at the new cornerstone to capstone plan that's currently being reviewed, if you'd look in the urban reserve overlay, it calls out that the following conditional uses are not considered compatible with the urban reserve overlay. Among several, a campground and bed and breakfast would not be compatible. My concern is that the Ames Urban Fringe Plan would be used to tell property owners under existing zoning that you could not get a conditional use permit for a business like ours. The net effect of that would be, if you strictly interpreted Chapter 91 of the ordinance, which is the non-conforming uses, what it would say is that a non-conforming use is something that was legal when you got the permit, but would be prohibited, regulated, or restricted under the provisions of the current ordinance. In other words, our concern would be, our business was legal when we got it, but under the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, that would be a restricted use. And if you were to adopt the new change to Chapter 92, it would say that all permits must conform to, not take under advisement, not, you know, listen to the intent, conform to the cornerstone to capstone plan of which the Ames Urban Fringe Plan is a part. My next concern would be that if we become a non-conforming use, then let's say another derecho hits, a tornado hits, or whatever hits, it's Iowa, that could happen today, who knows. But then if we were ruled a non-conforming use, we would not be allowed to rebuild our business should it be damaged in some way. And I realize Amelia said, well, that's not how the county interprets that. Okay, I have other concerns, like maybe a neighbor that seems convinced of trying to extinguish us as a business and using the courts as their own personal billy club to get that done. My point here for this board is a couple fold. One, the addition of conforming to the cornerstone and capstone plan serves no benefit to the county and only would make a mess of things potentially. We followed all of the rules, all of the laws. We found property that was properly zoned. We went to the Board of Adjustment. We went to planning and zoning. We followed the rules and we have a business. I get concerned when small things like that could be used to threaten the business that we have tried to establish. We are a small family business. These last few years for small businesses have been difficult. Between derechos, lockdowns, and runaway inflation, every small business in the county is facing challenges. We don't need more. Also, any small business, if you look at the cornerstone and the capstone plan and the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, suddenly any small business that would go for a conditional use permit under the new guidelines would have to get approval for the city. If we are in the county, then that's what the county has boards for. This is why we have Planning and Zoning Commission. This is why we have the Board of Adjustment. It's for the county to make these decisions. There's nothing wrong with consulting with the city, but giving them approval or letting them dictate which permits that currently zoned land could or could not use is the wrong approach. So I would just urge this board and the county to carefully look at every word and don't just think about how maybe our own planning and zoning department might look at these words. Think about how someone might use it for unintended consequences. Trying to live through 4 years, ongoing 4 years of litigation for a small business has been painful. And I don't wish to add any more to that potential. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan does not and should not be used to supersede zoning law. Zoning law is the agreement between property owner, property user, and the county. That is our law. That is our legal agreement. That is what we both agree to. When I buy it and the county zones it, that is our agreement. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan should not be used as a end run around that law. That's why it's an agreement. It's so that everybody is above board, so that maybe a developer doesn't come in knowing future plans that nobody else knows and is able to get some economic advantage on someone that doesn't know these things. That's why we have agreements, so that everybody is above board with the long-term county plans. But these agreements are not meant to supersede zoning law. Let us keep them separate. Let's not allow the cornerstone and capstone plan or the fringe plans to slowly erode into those property rights.
There are going to be 3 public comment sessions for the urban fringe plan. Mm-hmm. They're currently listed on Planning and Development's website. I think they're just listed now. So I would encourage you to utilize one of those to
absolutely
give your feedback that's specific to the urban fringe plan, because we're not specifically, I know this is all interrelated, but a lot of what you're talking about is regarding the urban fringe plan, and I think that would be a more appropriate place for you to register that.
Absolutely, I absolutely will, but I did want to explain why, you know, this half sentence, if it was just adopted as written, this particular half sentence, because of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan.
That's chapter 92,
section 11, 1A.
Yes, I've got
right?
that.
Absolutely. And that's why I will absolutely be using those public hearing times. Mm-hmm. However, the amendment to the county ordinance at hand, there's a reason that I want to make sure everybody understands why that particular half sentence matters so much and why it could be a bad move to make. And I think that obviously the county Planning and Zoning Commission already moved to delete that out of the ordinance. Sounds like that it's going to be remanded to planning and zoning to fix and tighten up, perhaps. I mean, those are good things. But I just thought the sooner that the Board of Supervisors knows our concerns, the more likely it is that you would, you know, understand mm-hmm. the why, you know, the deeper why behind all of it. Mm-hmm. Right. Did the board have any questions for myself and our business before concluding? I just want to make sure you had a chance.
I don't have any questions. I appreciate you coming and sharing this with us greatly.
I have no questions. Thank you.
Yeah, me neither.
Thank you. Any other comments for the public hearing? See anybody on Zoom? No? Okay.
Good morning, Board.
Good morning.
If there's any questions for me, I just stepped out of training. Sorry about that.
Oh, I don't think. Do we have any questions for Amelia at this moment?
Not at this time. I guess I'd like to see once she tightens up the language or makes the changes, I may have additional questions.
Okay.
I don't have any questions. Thanks, Amelia.
Yes, thank you, Amelia. Okay.
Thank you.
So, ready for a motion?
So
I'm sorry, I'm going to close public hearing.
Marcus, would it be appropriate that the motion just remand all of ordinance number 304?
Yes, that's what she asked.
Okay. I would move that we remand ordinance 304 back to staff for changes as explained and set May 31st for first consideration.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Merkin?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Basil? Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marcus.
Okay, moving on to additional items, we have consideration of resolution 22-85. Joby.
Good morning, Board.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What we have today is a resolution in reference to another FEMA hazard mitigation grant application that I'm planning to submit for the backup generator project for this facility. Our most recent application was not chosen, but there was another grant opportunity that I seen through FEMA. So there was part of that is additional cost associated with the generator. So it raised the overall project cost. And then the new resolution, it was shows $690,219 for total project cost. County would be responsible for $103,532.85. The previous grant application was roughly $615,000 total cost. County's responsibility would be $92,282. This project is currently budgeted for in FY23, and it is budgeted at $686,968 for total expense, with the revenue showing for $522,936, which would be a difference of $164,032. So, long story short, grant application falls within what we have budgeted for next fiscal year.
Okay. Joby, I just have a question.
Sure.
On the resolution itself. So under the, what is it, the third, whereas we're now therefore be resolved, it says make available up to $103,532.85, but then in parentheses it says it's written out as $103,219.85. Yeah, is it supposed to be the 103?
It's the 103,532.85.
Okay. So if there's a motion, that would be motion with those corrections.
Yes, but we would have to bring this back.
Right.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would intend to do if you.
So we.
If you, yeah, because given that it is incorrect on the document, we can't.
Right. Sorry, I just realized
it's a
that.
Good catch. Because that meant three of us missed that.
When's the grant application deadline?
There isn't a specific deadline because this one is based off of, it would be, I think it's four different disaster dollar programs, and this would be the leftovers.
Okay.
From that collectively. So.
Okay.
So they're anticipating end of summer, so they haven't set a deadline for applications for this current grant.
So you could put it on for next week then?
Yeah, we have time for next week.
So then we would just be direction, give you direction to take it back, make that correction, and then come back at the next meeting.
Yes, I apologize for that.
That's how I need a proofreader. I know. My goodness. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Any other questions about it?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So.
Thanks for continuing to try to get the funds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So we will see you next week.
Yes.
With that.
Sounds like a plan.
Thank you.
But he stays moving up here for the next week as well.
Moving on to discussion and consideration of adding office space for CICS at Human Services Center.
Yes. So what we have here is, as we're all aware, that CICS is going to be leasing some space at the Human Services Center. And back in the northeast corner of that is a area that has two cubicles. And since we started kind of working through designing this lease and preparing for the move of employees over to a regional employment, Russell Wood, who is with CICS, I believe he is on today. He was earlier, and might have to step up. His role with CICS has him relocating to Story County for a permanent office space. So there is a need for private office space at that location, and that the area that proposing to put an office in wasn't slated to be used in the immediate onset of the lease agreement. It's part of what they are leasing, but they didn't have staff to go in it right away. So it's essentially building a wall to enclose it. CICS would pay for the construction of the project.
So it's not changing the footprint that we talked about last week.
Yeah, it falls right within what they are, the space that they are leasing. It's just adding a wall instead of being open.
So at the bottom of your letter, it has cost to perform estimate was $13,700, and then there's another one that says $15,700.
Yep. If you look at the pictures that were attachments, you'll see that what's in question is the current design has it's got oversized doors and windows that are high up because that the exterior wall is windows and that allows for natural light into the interior space, and so the $15,700 would be to match that look of the existing offices, and then the $13,700 would be to just put in the standard door.
Gotcha.
Without the windows.
Gotcha.
And 300% both ways, and that's how I presented it to when we got the estimates to Russell Wood. My recommendation would be to match the existing look so that it looks the same and allows that natural light into the open.
So since CICS, though, is planning to cover the costs, do they make that final decision about what they want?
No, that would be
that's
your
still
decision,
us, even though they're paying for it.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And when I spoke with Russell, he was, yes, of course, they would like to see the cheaper option, but they understood and were willing to pay the additional cost to have it match. Gosh.
I think it only makes sense that we match it.
Yep.
Which amount more. So I would make a motion that we approve the work at the estimate of $15,700 for the wall, door frame, window glazing and framing and associated hardware for the additional CICS private office at the Human Resource Center.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Merkin?
Aye.
Heddens?
Aye.
Basil?
Aye.
Thank you. Next, we have consideration of 28E agreement for Headwaters of Skunk River Watershed Management Authority. Okay. That's not going to disconnect our.
Nope.
Okay.
It won't. It may interrupt me talking, but this is only, we have this off, it's just for sound right now.
Okay.
So this item before you is something we've been working on for quite a while. As you know, the Headwaters of the South Skunk is what's in Story County, primarily the Keekley Branch, so northwest of Nevada, going on up into the counties to the north. There were some issues identified with the current 28E agreement, so we kind of went a little bit back to the drawing board and did some revisions. Today's action is considering that 28E agreement. I do need to bring it back for formal adoption by resolution pursuant to the agreement. I do want to note one change that will ultimately need to be made. It came to my attention, City of Roland has a different address they use now rather than what's in the agreement, so that's just swapping out those two pages. Doesn't address the content of the agreement at all.
Just the signature page?
No, where it says notices are sent to the jurisdictions. Those two pages. Whenever I send that to the City of Roland, they actually are the ones that caught it, and then I'll send it out to all the other cooperators later today so that they have that information. Are there any questions for me? Linda, you've been involved in there's.
I'm just glad we're getting it finalized.
Yeah.
And you said you're going to be bringing this back then?
It'll
with
be
the resolution?
On consent as, next week as a resolution. I guess I do want to note that once all the cooperators have signed it, they are returned back to me, and I will then go forward and report it and put it on the Secretary of State's website. That's something that Story County has done in the past.
So you just need direction to place it on consent?
Well, it says consideration.
Yeah, you can approve it today, the actual agreement, and then there'll be a resolution act on it.
Okay.
I could make a motion to approve the 28E agreement for the Headwaters of South Skunk River Watershed Management Authority with discussed changes and then be brought back as a resolution next board meeting.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Heddens?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Basil?
Aye.
Thank you, Leanne.
You're live on the owl.
We are live on the owl. Great. Okay. Wonderful. This has been a fun ride with all the technology. Okay. So moving on to discussion and consideration of Story County's participation and sponsorship of City of Ames Juneteenth celebration. This is something I've been talking with Vanessa Baker Latimer at the City of Ames for about a month about what the city's plans are to recognize Juneteenth. She's pulling together quite a fantastic recognition celebration. My memo lists all of the different partners that are involved in planning right now: Ames Human Relations Committee, Ames Police Department, Ames Public Library, Ames State, Iowa State Black Faculty and Staff, Black Liberation Movement, and NAACP. I know she's working on trying to pull in more participants, but there's going to be music and face painting and activities and a movie at the end, food trucks. And I thought it would be a really important, I thought it was really important that the county show some support and get involved. And so I asked her to give me an idea of what that might look like. And so we could sponsor the Kona ice truck for 250 cups at $1,000. And then anything over that amount, people would just have to pay directly for And this is a suggested amount. It's not a required amount, but it was a way to identify what exactly would we be sponsoring. And then I would also like us to have a table. I did talk to Alyssa a little bit about whether we could have a table there where we could talk about the county, we could talk about our open positions, different things that the county does, services that we provide, and really I think it gives us an opportunity to have some exposure with people who maybe don't think about what the county does, just in general. It's any opportunity we have to share information with the residents of the county, I think, is valuable. And it's an important day.
I think my questions are, and I don't disagree on the importance of the day at all, of the sponsoring of a Kona Ice Truck, is that meeting the public purpose, I guess would be my one question. And then where would we take the revenue from? I mean, where would we pay for it from would be my one or two questions.
I think it serves the public purpose in the same way that supporting the county fairs, supporting the Iowa Games, any of those types of activities, I guess I would put it around in that same, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and then like I said, just my other question would be where would we be pulling the funds from? And that might be a question for Lisa Markley to.
Yeah, I did not.
That would be.
I did not have a conversation with Lisa about it.
Because I think under, like the Iowa Games before, or before I was on here, like the National Special Olympics, they paid for it under tourism, education and tourism. So I'm not sure if that would meet that, if it would fall under education. That would just be the question as to. And I only ask it because I'd hate to say, yes, we want to support this, which I don't, like I said, I don't disagree, important day to do, is to have it then come back before us and say, okay, we're.
Right, right.
That would be my only concern, my only question on it.
Yeah, I didn't talk to Lisa ahead of time. I should have, but I wasn't sure where we would land.
So. I asked her, and just because I couldn't remember, and so she had mentioned to me about we did some of the others under tourism or under the education, and maybe it falls under education if we're doing a table and providing information. I don't know. I didn't go that far because I was waiting for your presentation today.
Yeah.
Linda, do you have any thoughts or?
Well, the other thought I had is in terms of precedent, and if we do this, what other asks might come our way, and do we have a policy or do we have a thought about that? I'm just thinking we're going into the summer months. We've got a lot of parades. We've got a lot of festivals that are going on around the county, and I wouldn't be surprised, you know, we've not done anything for before. So I just think we might end up with a lot of additional asks, and to have some kind of thought or criteria about how we deal with, you know, those kind of asks. I think sometimes the board will set up a fund or a program for something like facade grants or something like that. And I kind of see why that's done. You know, because it was something you anticipate may happen more than once, you know, kind of getting a thought together of, is this something we want to do as a policy or a practice or a program or whatever you want to call it. And sometimes it's better done during budgeting to figure those things out. And we've kind of just you know, which we could do next year, but that leaves a whole parade, leaves a whole summer festival's parade season ahead of us right now. Mm-hmm. And, I'm just wondering where it might go. That's all I'm saying. I thank you for the work, and I agree that it is a really important thing to recognize. I'm just not sure how it fits in with other, you know, other things that we are doing or might be committing to doing. Not sure. And the public purpose test might be something we'd want to think about as well. I mean, I hadn't thought about, you know, exactly where does it fit with some of the things we've been looking at for public purpose for some other things.
Well, I mean, I think we could make the argument that the public purpose is providing placemaking. It's showing that the county recognizes the value of celebrating this day.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is not saying that you don't personally think that it's not an important day. That's not what I'm saying. I think I need to get creative. I'm not really sure what that is yet.
Can I ask Alyssa, she's the staff person who's been here the longest, might have some, are there similar things that previous boards have done?
I don't recall like that type of a sponsorship. Like I think the overall programs they've done, but not specific to
an event.
Not necessarily an event, but actually a sponsorship of a food truck to give those to, I mean, so I know we've done like the Iowa games. I know it's different, but it's been the overall sponsorship of the event. So it doesn't go towards giving out ice I don't know if that would make a difference in the public purpose. But it's, I don't know if there's an administrative cost that the city has, or are there sponsors just not necessarily sponsoring a specific piece that goes to individuals, but maybe the overall event. I don't know. I'm not an expert on that.
And maybe that's my, yeah, I thought, oh, I didn't want, I just wanted to, I did not want to come and just say, let's just do this thing without saying this is what we would be. And maybe I got, you know, too specific. I don't know.
We've done like any specific events. I don't know if like other cities have had other,
I
don't recall if we had it.
Yeah, and I don't know if any other communities do anything recognizing that day. I mean, would they then want to come forward for sponsorship as well? I mean, I guess it's up to them to come ask or whatever.
I think the first city in Stry County.
Yeah, right. Ankeny did a big one last year.
Yeah.
Iowa City. Johnson County is doing a huge celebration this year, but it's county led. Yeah. And I really would like to see the county involved, and I didn't feel like it was appropriate to say to the organizers in Ames, I would like the county to be involved. I think it's important that the county is involved without providing some support also for the event. And so that, I mean, the funding was my idea.
Mm-hmm.
because yeah.
Are they having tables of other organizations there?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what all. I can get a list of who
so,
all.
So are they charging for folks to have a table there?
I don't believe so.
So we could still be there and provide county information.
The sponsorship is not.
I've just never, I don't know if you've ever done like
a specific
right.
Something to get to those attending. Mm-hmm. So we've done the other. Like I said, I don't know if these have any, if they have any sponsors or if it's all.
Just, they are. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are they sponsoring certain events like other?
I'm assuming like they're business sponsorships, right?
I think the City of Ames is, or the Ames Public Library is contributing money. Iowa State Black faculty and staff, NAACP. And I can get a list of the different funders or people who are actually funding.
Well, a lot of those are City of Ames departments.
Right. Right, and I'm just looking there. This is their partners involved in the planning. Is that actually providing funding, or are they around the table helping?
Some of them are providing funding. Some of them have not committed funding yet because she hasn't.
Sure.
She hasn't got all of the numbers together just yet.
But I think if they like a table, I know if they would charge like those to go in. We have done stuff like that.
That, yeah.
Just
not
the sponsorship of a specific item to everybody that mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not saying that wouldn't be, I'm not an expert on the public purpose, so.
Right. And I don't believe they're charging for tables, but I might be wrong, so okay. I can find that out also.
The county's always participated in the city's MLK.
Mm-hmm.
Day, and I don't think we have a precedent there that we've provided any funding for that.
Right, because it hasn't been a festival.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get more information.
I think the question is, too, is if they're not charging for any other tables. It's an Ames event. Could we still be there but not have to not be charged for it? I mean, if they're not charging for anyone else, I understand
yes,
what you're
saying.
The answer is yes. Yeah, I'm understanding what you're saying of wanting to have to contribute, but I'm also looking at if that's how Ames has set it up for their festival. We could still be there and educate, at least start it out that way this year, mm-hmm. and then look at for next year and say, okay, is there something where we could potentially be at the table? Like, again, I don't want to intrude on their their festival is that thing, but maybe they wouldn't. Just throwing that out there.
Mm-hmm. It's not the amount of the ask. I don't think the ask is really,
right
out of proportion or anything like that. It's just that, what it would be going for and the precedent setting. And maybe it'd be good for us to figure out something more about a policy or what are we intending to do? Because it might not be a Juneteenth, but it may be something else, With Scandinavian Days, for example, would you provide something there or Old Settlers Days or whatever.
I will get more information and potentially bring it back.
Sponsored. We can pull. I can talk to these more. I'm not recalling anything other than the NAACP will be sponsored.
Wait, I asked her, and she, except for the NAACP, which was education or whatever, but otherwise it's been, the bigger event. It was the Iowa Games. It was when we had the National Special Olympics came here is where we... and we're not actually even funding Iowa Games.
anymore.
But that, I do think climate sponsorship is not just Maine's residents.
Right, right, right.
So I mean, it's everybody. So I think that if we did a sponsorship, that would serve all Story County citizens. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know under those two, she did it under tourism.
Yep. And that might, I mean.
I don't know, so. Okay.
I might bring it back.
Sure.
Okay, it looks like you are up, Joe. We're moving on to IRVM quarterly report.
All right. Oh, my leg fell asleep. Hang on. You're going to stand over here and I'm going to throw it at you. Well, thanks for inviting me to the party.
Yeah, thanks for staying till the end.
I learned a lot, and I'm able to catch up on stuff. So, we'll get to this later.
Parsnip.
So, Joe Quaker, Story County Conservation, IRVM leader. Last time I was here was the 15th of February. So there's been a lot going on, and by the way, there's a lot gonna go on because it's growing season, the rains are over, which we needed, things are growing. So you got a little update. I threw in numbers from like FY22, so July up to current. So we've done some programs, a little landowner consultation with a lot of different folks and drill rentals. We've done a few presentations. I work with the Conservation Corps of Iowa on herbicide training down in Jester Park. And I helped Jerry Keyes a couple weeks ago with the Master Conservationist Program. So we bussed everybody out to a prairie remnant, went for a hike.
Nice.
And that's about it. Some herbicide with our folks. So we have a lot of new, Story County Conservation, as you know, has several new hires. So we take advantage of myself and I guess you could call wisdom on some things. So evaluations. We did a lot of research on tractors because we do have one budgeted in FY23. We wanted to get on this, get ready to pull the trigger because this may not be a shock to you. Things are out there quite a way. So when you order, they kind of try to say within 6 months. With that being said, we ordered a pickup a year ago, Chevy pickup. And it's not even on the roster to be built. So we may look at that. It's a Chevrolet, I can say that. It doesn't really matter to me. That's the one we needed or the one that won. The thing is, it is a single cab. Most of us now, the people and the government, like the double cabs, crew cabs. You can throw more stuff in the back. This one we wanted a single cab because we didn't want a really long wheelbase, hard to turn around. And they don't make single cabs, it's not on their front line. So we're working with that. We're gonna see how long that's gonna take. And we have some grants that will be coming through that went to the board, Conservation Board last week. Some small equipment that we're writing, the grants are written. I gotta submit them here in the next couple weeks to the Living Roadway Trust Fund. 80% funded, but a lot of this equipment isn't that expensive, so, but every little penny helps. Moving on down, 26 landowners I've talked to lately. That 9 equipment rentals is up to 14 over the weekend. Done a little bit of custom planting and mowing and some burning north of Zering on a property that we're helping manage. That is all charged back to the landowner. So, and that has happened. As far as right of way, we did about 10 acres, 9.5 acres, 17 acres of natural areas, which are primarily our seed nurseries. And we still have 20 acres to do. In another wildlife area, we did burn last Friday. It's getting kind of late. You don't really want to push the burning too far into the nesting season. But this is a good time of year to burn to control grow or cool seasons, if you can get it to go. Let's see, work orders. There's a lot out there. We've done about 20, not 12. We worked yesterday. They're going today. Can read through that. So, and we have about 35 work orders open. That's Darren's staff working around bridges and around intakes. May or may not remember, we had about a 4-inch rain a month ago that really did some weird things with corn stalks in the southern part of the county. So wherever they are working and scraping, we need to kind of see that and stabilize it. And we're working on spending the budget down, you know, what we promised to do. Getting to the spring, so it's noxious weed season. I'm going to explain a little bit, and not too long, about the weed law, so you can understand that. The board typically may get one or two calls a year on noxious weeds. You can funnel those to me. Hopefully they just call me directly, but you never know. So I know they're going to start mowing shoulders next week or maybe late this week. That's Darren's crew for site distance on the hard surface roads. That's kind of something that needs to happen. Some people like that, some people don't. But really it does need to happen, you know, just for site distance on intersections. Typically, Story County IRBM sprays about 225 centerline miles. That's both sides of the road in Story County. A lot of other counties spray the whole county. We don't do that. We just really hit the hot spots. We do have a new sprayer, so we can spray more. But we're pretty much a county of disturbance. We have a lot of farming going on, so there's a lot of overspray from farmers going into the roadside. There's a lot of construction, and we're low. We're kind of in the pothole region of Iowa and north, so we have a lot of ponding and flooding. So a lot of weeds are moving around. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of get what we can. If people call up, we certainly go do what we're supposed to do. And I'm going to skip the weed law. And I was going to bring it up on my phone, but I think I remembered, you know, I was studying it back there. So in 2019, 18, and then in 19, it was finalized, the weed law was redone. The weed law is as old as the early 1900s, okay? They've been trying to work on it, so a lot of those weeds have been there forever. They don't really do much to landowner or profit. Doesn't hurt corn production. Some of them aren't even around anymore. The thing is, we're getting new plants coming up. What used to grow in northern Arkansas grows here now. We got about 6 inches of more rain, and I think we're 3/4 of a degree hotter in Iowa, so our growing season's a little different. So we can grow plants, and not all of them are good. So they're changing the weed law. There was about 30 species on it. They've taken a lot of those off, but they made Palmer amaranth number one. Which came in through all the CRP about 8 years ago. We don't see a lot of that around. It could have went crazy, but it didn't. And so, but it's still the number one wanted list. That's class A, must control. Then you have class B, that's like, these are gonna be state recognized noxious weeds. So that's your Canada thistle, the only really perennial thistle we have, must thistle, bull thistle, field bindweed, leafy spurge, and I think that's about it. And I brought the other plants in last year, big pollinative thistles that have white under the leaves. Those are native. Those are on the list anymore. Those, you see those late summer in September. I get calls from people wanting them to spray, but they're native, and they really help our pollinators. Goldfinches love them. So anyway. That's the weed law. I looked up Minnesota's weed law, and they have 37 species. And then I looked up Wisconsin. So they have a lot more, but it's more wildlife stuff. Garlic mustard, Japanese knotweed, barberry, mile a minute. So in these states north of us that really rely on more tourism money in their wild areas, they spend a little more money on that per pollution strike, things that can really hurt the environment. We're more just, you know, we're 95% ag, so. But I think that you have the weed resolution might have been on your consent agenda. So what we can and can't do, we can't declare a weed noxious. The state
Secretary of Ag.
That's him. He's the one who does that through Congress and all that other stuff. But what we do is we say, here are some plants that we recognize as to be kind of bad in Story County. And those are, as you listed, we have purple loosestrife, garlic mustard, some other things on there that if I see out there, I can call someone up and say, hey, we recognize this is a really not a very good plant. Let's try to control it. So that's kind of how that works. Any questions on the weed law? Perfect. Last but not least, I'll show you these things. We do need to let everyone know that we do have contract spray coming up for roadsides. That can be a hot topic or not. Typically, they do a good job. Sometimes someone may call in upset, but a lot of times we get calls say, hey, it looks really good. That's not going to happen until July, and I'll report on it again, I think, by then. But they are going to cover Milford, Franklin, Washington, Grant, and Nevada. So right smack dab through the middle of the county. And then next year we'll come back around, and then we'll start it. So those are the four townships, maybe five that we're going to get.
What are you going to do with the cedars?
What's that?
Will the spray get the cedars?
Little ones, yes. Not big ones. Yeah. You drive up George Washington Carver, I sprayed those little cedars. A lot of those, I think, died.
On the east side.
They did. They don't look the best.
They don't look great.
But what do you do? So they will. The cedar trees are a tough deal to get. They have to be about as tall as this table, no more. So what I brought was this plant, the plant that killed Socrates. Can anyone guess what family it's in? Who has a garden?
It's a carrot family, parsley.
It's in the carrot family.
It looks like is it a Queen Anne slice?
So you can, what's that?
Queen Anne slice.
It's a relative. Very good. You can see the purple on here, and it's hollow. This is poison hemlock. So if you were to take this and grind it all up and put it in your tea, it probably wouldn't, that's what she did to her husband. If you know the story. I had to actually look that up. So this is a biennial, and it's not on the noxious weed list, but we have it on ours, on our recognized. So biennial means it grows, reproduces only by seed. So if you take away the seed source over time, you get rid of the plant. So mowing, it's hard to mow in some of these areas to get a mower in, so you try to spray it. At this height or shorter, this will get 10 to 12 feet tall.
Really?
Yeah, really tall. So it stays as a rosette the first year, and then the second year after the heat, I was watching this little plant. It's actually right in town as you go out on the underpass on S14. There's a couple patches, and this thing is like a 3-day old. This is what it did in 3 days. Wow. Kind of like what asparagus did. So that's our little lesson for today. And then I think we're going to meet, we're going to have a little tour of our shop, but we talked about hydroseeding. I don't think we've ever had you right on top of a cedar, but if I can just invade your space. So this is what we do. This is seed and recycled wood. So So this is what we put in our hydro seeder, 50-pound bags, about 600 pounds of load with the prairie seed, and it mixes with the big agitators. And then we add glue, it's a wood byproduct, and we spray it out. And if I could get it in a ball, it'd probably make it stick to that wall. Where's Joey at?
No, let's not try.
You want to take some home?
What's in it?
I'm not sure. It looks like a lot of that prairie stuff. So, that's kind of how that...
Just leave the bucket, I'll take home.
I can. Okay. Any questions for me? I think I kind of went through everything.
Yeah.
You said something about drainage.
Yeah, I forgot. That's this sheet here. So drainage ditch work, I'll sit back down. What we did this winter, actually in the spring, we hired construction. Jensen won that bid and did some rubbing and willow removal on New Albany 68, which is just northeast of town. We do have numbers in. We had to work with Scott Wall on levying some money for 8 drainage districts, about 14 miles of spraying grease sprouts. So no longer are we going to do the bulk of it, Story County IRBM. We're going to hire someone who actually does it for a living and can free us up so we can have a little more time in the summer and to focus on other things. So, That's in FY23. In the meantime, we are going to do a little bit in-house spraying every year along our open ditches, and that's going to be Grant 13, which is over by the interstate, and then the beloved Milford 32, which is right behind the old county home. Mm-hmm. So we're going to keep that brush down. And for the most part, our construction work that was done in 20, we had exactly in 2020, 20 brush piles that we needed to burn up, and Tyler got on that on and off all year. They stretched all the way up from north of Zering down to Slater. So we kind of had to hit it in areas and stay up there. We did burn up. It's the best way to do it when they pile brush, the contractor comes in, let it dry down, and just light them on fire and kind of babysit them for a couple days. And there's snow around there, it's winter, so they're not going to go anywhere.
So how can we keep ahead of those open ditches? Because we've had so many of them that have just huge trees in them and they're big projects. Will the spraying, will we have enough money in that budget to spray to keep ahead of them?
Well, I think your question is, that's levied money for all these. So that's our job. Mm-hmm. We work hard on figuring out what drainage districts need what.
Yeah.
And so if there's a construction project like Boone Story 1, Boone Story 3, where we got all these piles, then we plan ahead, we get a contractor, we get quotes coming in, and they take care of it, and we make sure we levy enough money so we can burn the piles, which takes a couple $1,000 is all, just for Tyler to be able to pick up. And now we're talking about maintenance. So big projects and new drainage ditches that are being dug out, you really want to make sure we're on top of that, so we don't let the trees sprout up. Right. A few native shrubs are fine, but we don't want a bunch of trees falling in there. So that's why you have us monitoring all these open ditches and keeping track of it.
But then the contractors that you're talking about, if you see something that needs done, then they'll go in and actually do it. So you'll monitor, they'll do the clearing.
And that's a lot of work. And other counties sometimes have that drainage ditch watchman program. Mm-hmm. That's, they're doing what Darren and I do. Mm-hmm. You know, so at the moment we're putting together all the quotes for all the work where the drainage ditch watchman would do all that. We just call them up and say, hey, there's a problem on Milford 32, and they would send someone out. But that's a pretty expensive way to go. So far we're keeping up with what we can.
Gotcha.
Answer
your
question?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, cheers.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
See you Monday.
On it. I'll be right here at 9 o'clock.
Right, we've had nothing, no other reports, any upcoming agenda items?
Is the Slater Dick here? Should we put that back on? Do we have the information we need to look at that?
Does that need checking into prior? I mean, is there any additional information that we need?
I sent an email this morning. I've not gotten a response on yet, but I would expect I'll have that back. So, okay. Okay. Now it's time for public comment number two. Comments from the public on items not on this agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to requirements of open meetings law, but may do so in the future. Anyone who would like to make public comment, step forward or raise your hand on Zoom. Seeing no one, we'll close public comment number two. Liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, and announcements from the supervisors. Supervisor Heddens, would you like to start?
Sure. So tomorrow I'm going to work from home. I've got a couple appointments and a couple meetings over in Ames. I will be in the office Thursday, but I do have aging resources meeting Thursday morning, and then I think we have a department head and elected officials Zoom meeting as well on Thursday on my agenda. Friday, I'm going to take the day off because it's Special Olympics. My son's participating and my daughter's in town. Monday morning, I will, as Joe said, mentioned to be out at the shop, and then it looks like the State of the County is on that day as well. So that's kind of my week.
Supervisor Murphy?
Is anybody going to the emergency management training tonight?
I had it on for tomorrow, but I might see if I could switch it to tonight, because actually my tonight is better than next.
I'm not sure if I'm going to make it or not. I have a StoryCom quarterly meeting tomorrow, a CERPA meeting Thursday morning. We have department heads and elected officials this Thursday afternoon.
That's what I have on the agenda.
And I'm going to do some little field work on a drainage district later after that. And I think that's it. I don't think I have anything on for Friday. What time Monday was Joe's place?
He just asked me if I wanted to go out to a shop, so okay. I'm going out at 9. I mean, you're welcome to join, but yeah, he was just going to.
Yeah. Okay. I may stop by there on the main one. That's all I've got.
Okay. I've got many of those same things. I am not going to the emergency management tonight. I have CERHA tonight and housing trust meeting this afternoon. And I've got a couple of appointments this week, one on Wednesday and one on Friday, just personal appointments. And then Hunger Collaboration on Thursday. That's about it. I will be in late Monday because my daughter will be in town for some dental stuff, so I'm going to go with her to that, but we'll be in the afternoon. That's it. Anything else?
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Heddens.
Aye.
Merkin.
Aye.
Basil. Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Bryce, I need to run home, let my dog out, and I'm going to grab a bite to eat. I actually typed something up already yesterday, and I might just peek. I might just, I was ahead of it this time. Especially since I knew that I was the one coming up. So I might just add a few additional little notes, like maybe around 2:30 somewhere.
What's it called? Okay. It seems like it's something.
Yeah.